Brother John, thank you very much. Guys, gals, thank you. I've reached the stage in life where I just can't do it all myself anymore. And I stumble on flat ground. And when my guys from Vegas heard that I was going to be doing my mom's roof, they ordered me to stay off of it. And they're coming to do it for me. So.
Amen.
And you guys are helping me with the other one that needs done. And some things I want to do for a few years. Mm-hmm. Only heaven will reveal what it's worth. But thank you. Take your Bibles and go to Psalm 78. And I've got to say, this day is fit together as it always does when I come here. I love to go where the Holy Spirit has liberty. And He's in charge. And God does the work. I like being around it. I'm addicted to it. Brother Jack Wood used to say, if I go someplace and God's not there, I'm leaving. And I tell you, I've been some times I've wanted to leave some places. But from the first step in the door here until now, every time I come, God does something.
Amen. Thank you.
And it's just a blessing to be here today.
Amen.
Everything the preacher taught and preached this morning, and then Brother Hain gave some things at the close, and he said some things that are going to fit right into it, and then Ronnie got up and capped it off for me, amen.
Yes, sir.
So it's all good, amen. There in Psalm 78, look at verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for just your goodness, Lord. God, you're far better to us than we ever deserved. Thank you for so great a salvation. Thank you for, God, the family of God. God, what a blessed family it is, God, just to be a part of, Lord. Thank you. And thank you now for this word of God and the privilege to preach it. The best I know how, I give you the vessel. God, ask you to fill it to overflowing once again. And please do what only you can do here. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Two things. I prayed much about what to preach when I got here. And you know how it is. I'm an evangelist. I got my seven messages in a book. No, I'm kidding. I've got a whole, if you stacked all my messages for 40 years up, they'd be about like that. But, you know, what could I say? But, you know, I mean, when you get the diet, you get here. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I want to come in and add to the diet.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes adding to the diet's peas and carrots, you know.
Right.
Sometimes it's, banana cream pie. And sometimes it's steak. It just depends. But I got thinking about this thing. You know, in these days we live, and I've got a great burden for churches. The preacher said it earlier this morning. We've helped several churches that were dying or about to close, and the bank was closing them. And in one couple cases, we've helped them get back on their feet and seen revival come to those churches and see those churches today flourishing and doing well. Amen. In this day, right with us. And so the thing I want to get to is this. There's a generation yet to come. And we can all take a look around and see what's going on in our world. And those of us who have been around a while and understand some things, it's scary. Amen. Now, I'm not saying it's scary to the point where I'm going to run and hide. Amen. Forget hiding. Hiding's over, man. I hid when I was afraid of everybody. Amen. I'm not afraid of what's going to happen. It's just that I don't know how to even word that thing. Apprehensive, because I know what's coming. I can see it. You look around, you can see it in the wings. There's an undercurrent out there working right now. There's a wind blowing right now.
Yes.
Amen. That's it's going to bring disaster to our nation and to our world. And I'm not trying to put everybody under a gloom and doom message. But unfortunately, the day we live in calls for a warning.
Yes, sir.
It calls for a wake up. It calls, amen, for somebody to do something. And I'm glad to see there are some folks taking a stand and doing something about it in some places.
Amen.
Amen. Would to God every church in America would join. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Would to God, amen, all the Bible believers would get together. Hello, amen. And make a stand for Jesus Christ. The thing that really got me as I watched this thing start is those who were taking a stand and getting all the accolades and attention for it were charismatics.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, how about that?
You know?
Yes, sir.
And that's okay. You know, the Baptists are a lot of times are the last guys in. They're the last guys in New Guinea, but I'm telling you what, they did more in New Guinea in just 20 years than all the rest of them did in 100.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right. The
point I'm trying to make is this. Amen. Prepare yourself. It said the generation to come, that they might know, amen, the scriptures of God, and that they would arise and declare the testimony of God. Brother Ron just gave his testimony. He declared the testimony of God in his life.
Yes, sir.
Amen. What a blessing. That generation to come, you never know what can come in a generation. It's unknown. Now you've got some promises from God. In fact, he told them back there in Deuteronomy 6, right? To teach those things to their children, to write it on their doorpost. Amen. To put it, amen, everywhere. And he promised that they'd bear fruit from that. And here it is, amen. He's telling them, they're being reminded here about that generation to come. Notice verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. You know what? If we're going to leave a testimony, I don't care what anybody knows about me when I'm gone, but I do care what they know about my God. And you and I can ruin our testimony in 1 second.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's all it takes. 1 second.
Yep.
Amen. All you'd have to do is go downtown to Holy Ann, see me with my arm around some babe, and what would you think now?
That's right.
Or, you know, see me down there, you know, just... What would you think now?
Whoa.
Or... Look. That's what I used to be. But by the grace of God, amen, I am what I am today. What you know me as.
Amen.
That's God's testimony. First thing he told them, incline your ears. If you want your kids to listen, you know what you got to do? You got to listen. Amen. You got to pay attention. You got to hear God. Amen. And I'm talking to some young people too, because it could be a while yet before this thing unwinds.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to unwind.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be a while yet. Only God knows the timing on it. But it's up to you and I to be ready. Amen. We better be listening to God. Hey, we King James Bible believers, man, we wave it. I love the old Bible, the precious old Bible. Amen?
Yes, sir.
But do we really live it? Do they know we love the Bible when they see us?
Come on. Yes, sir. Preaching.
And do the kids and the grandkids know we love the Bible?
Yeah, that's important.
Amen? Because listen, if you lose the kids and grandkids, you've lost it all. I don't care if you win a million. And your family, you lose them. He said, incline your ears. Next, well, this Sunday, My woman, my My tongue's all tangled up. My dear wife and I will have been married 45 years.
Amen.
I brag on her a lot, man. I'm telling you. She's given up everything she knows 4 times over just to follow me and support me while I serve God. And I tell you, I've seen a lot of women, their husbands get saved and they leave.
Uh-huh.
Or God calls their husband to preach and they leave. Or something else comes up and they leave. Let me tell you, I've probably given her more excuses or more reasons to leave than you can count. But she's still here. You know why? It's not Cliff. It's this. God established a testimony in Cliff. And she has seen it work. I've got a daughter on the mission field. I'm not bragging. Please don't think I am. I know me. I have to shave me every day. A daughter on the mission field. You know why? Because she saw the testimony of God in Mama and Daddy on the mission field. And she wanted what they saw, what they had. They're talking about establishing a testimony here. Verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob. It's God that establishes the testimony according to Acts chapter 14. God working. It said over there in Philippians, I believe it is. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's trying to work. Will you let him work? First of all, by listening.
Amen.
Paying attention. And then second, verse 2, I will open my mouth in a parable. Man, start telling folks about it. Brother Ron, is that the first time you ever gave that testimony like that?
Yes, sir.
Now you know what you got to do?
Yes, sir.
Now you got to walk the walk.
Scary.
Amen. You open your mouth, see? See, what happens when you open your mouth, that puts you on the spot.
Yes, sir. Sure does.
Now somebody's got their eyeball on you. Now people are watching, see? And if we're going to have an effect on the next generation, they need to see it in us. They need to know that our God's real. Hey man, they need to hear us pray. They need to know that when we pray, God hears and God answers because He is the God.
Yes, man.
And they're going to need to know that He is the God in the near future. He said, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Boy, there's a good one. How in the world are you going to utter dark sayings of old? You realize your preacher gives more dark sayings of old than anybody I know. And he's got the stories he tells, many of them old, way old. But it's from guys nobody else ever read about. He's a reader. He studies.
That's right.
What God say over there in Timothy?
2
Timothy 2:15, study. Which if you got anything else but a King James Bible, won't say that.
That's right, sure won't.
Some of them say, do your best. That's different than study. Study to show thyself approved and not unto man.
That's right. That'll believe it.
Study to show thyself approved unto who?
God.
Amen. Why? Because He's the one that's working in you. He's the one whose approval you need. And what happened? Study, show thyself proven unto God, a workman.
Yes, sir.
Much study is what? Weariness to the flesh. That means studying is work. Amen. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. What did Paul say? I am not ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And he told the Corinthians that you be not ashamed of the testimony, his testimony in me or my testimony. Amen. He said, the dark sayings of old. You know how you get to know the dark sayings of old? You study the book. Man, God will show you things out of that book. They're talking this morning. Both Pastor Hayden and Pastor John are saying these things about how God just, you know, gave them stuff. And he looked in the book. I forget whether it's Sunday school or morning service. I know it all runs together in your mind after a while. But man, it's how God gave him things. And sometimes, you know, you're not paying attention when God talks. I believe it said what? Incline your ears. That means get the wax out. Amen. Get the heart in tune to pay attention. Because you pick that book up and start reading, God is speaking. And He will speak to you. And what you come away with is not God's fault. Because I'll tell you what God will do. He'll load your wagon. But the problem is, you got to have the wagon right side up. Amen.
Yes, that's right.
You go looking for God, you know what you'll find? God. You know why he came back here? Because when he came here, he found God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah.
I like to go to Father's house and find him home. Amen. So he said, I'll open my mouth. I'll utter dark sayings of old. You know some guys, how they can just teach the Bible? I love teaching the Bible. But you know what I like to listen to? I like to listen to a man who can teach the Bible. I've been at this thing 40 years. And you know what I still get? Even in my own study, I still get new stuff. But I go and listen to another man who studied. You know what I get? More new stuff. Why? Because, man, when you study that book, amen, and rightly divide the word of truth and figure it, put the pieces where God meant for them to be, it all fits. It's not a jammed up puzzle. It's a beautiful picture. Amen. And so those dark sayings, that's where they come from. You get back there, you know, Ezekiel, man, you want some dark sayings. He's got some. Anybody ever figures out that wheel, man, let me know. I'm not sure which way that thing's even spinning. But there's some stuff in there. Amen. And then, so you give them your ears, open your mouth. Which we've heard and known, our fathers have told us, see. They didn't just hear it from God, they heard it from their fathers. Tell it to somebody else. Pass it on. Amen. See, you know what the Democrats' mantra is? You know where COVID came from? Seize every opportunity to take charge of a calamity. Something to that effect. So what it is, you create a calamity so you can run it. Amen. That's exactly what's going on. So you know what we ought to be doing? Same thing. In a spiritual sense. But in this way, take every opportunity you can to sit down with your family, your kids, and tell them about the testimony of God. And you got friends, man, every chance you get, open your mouth. Amen. I mean, I've opened my mouth in places they said you can't do that. Too late, I already did. Amen. I mean, I've been in places that, I mean, with guns drawn on me. And talking to people about the Bible and preaching. You know, my voice carries. I don't need a microphone. I'll get in a conversation somehow where I can say it, and I'll say it loud enough that everybody around me can hear it.
Right.
Shotgun effect, amen? And you get to preach to a lot of people that way. And thank you. God does a lot of stuff. I've had people come up to me years later. Hey, do you remember me? And I said, no. Who are you?
I was standing in that crowd, man. I got saved. I just want to say thanks.
Amen. Tell others. Take your... wait a minute. I got one more. I got another. Where'd it go? Psalm 71. Psalm 71, verse 18. See, it's generational. Now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, amen, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength to this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. You know what I want my kids to see more than anything? And my grandkids, and now my great-grandkids? I want them to see the power of God.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. You ever see the power of God at work, you won't want to be around anything else. Man, the closer I can get to it, the more I like it. I thrive on it. I love hearing testimonies like that. Amen.
Yes.
I love hearing testimonies like some you have. And the issues you went through, the struggle you had, and how victory came, and you came out on the winning side.
Yes,
that's what it's all about. Because you know what? You're not the last ones to go down that road.
That's right.
I've got a young man right now going through some stuff. And I said, son, if you'll just get yourself straightened up with God, God will use this in your life somewhere down the road to help somebody coming behind you on the same road.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
It's generational, man. It goes on. I love it, man. I love it when my grandkids come up to me. Papa, would you tell us again how it was when you got saved? Papa, would you tell us how it was again when great-grandpa got baptized? My dad got baptized with the ducks. He told everybody before he died. We baptized him in a pond, my pastor and myself, because he was walking on braces. We had to take the braces off so they didn't rust going in the water. So two of us baptized him. And as we put him under, the ducks came around the corner quacking. Amen. But they love hearing that. And then now I got a grandson-in-law. And when he runs into some heretics, he calls me up. He said, Papa Cliff, man, I got a problem, man. This guy said thus and so. I said, what'd you tell him? I said, he says thus and so. I said, that's right. Oh, good. Amen. All right, take your Bible and go to 2 Chronicles 15. Second Chronicles 15:7. He said, be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. I think Ronnie just mentioned that. Your work shall be rewarded. Verse 8. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. You know what happens? You get people that get saved and they start taking off and growing for the Lord and they start being a testimony and they start witnessing and they start doing things for God. You know what that does? That brings life into things.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That brings life to a church, man.
Sure.
People getting saved and growing in the Lord, that brings life.
Yes, sir.
And people that come in see it, especially if they know you. If your testimony's been seen out there. And so what? God begins to reward that thing. The altar gets renewed. Verse 9. And he gathered all that, all Judah and Benjamin, strangers with them out of Ephraim, Manasseh, Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. The testimony begins to resound.
Mm-hmm.
And people begin to see that thing. They more than hear it now. They're witnessing it. They're seeing it themselves. They're seeing what God can do to an unregenerate sinner.
Yes, sir.
How God can take that sinner, and he may have to put him through the grinder,
right. But
after they come out of the grinder, they're whole again. And they're more whole than they were before.
Right, brother. Yes, sir.
Amen? They see God's with them. Verse 10. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord at the same time the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep. See, you begin to become a giver, amen?
Huh.
Thing of it is, man, the profession resounds. People begin to hear that thing. God begins to work in the heart. The preacher said today, and I commend you myself, man, your giving's always been wonderful. From what I've seen when I've been around, I mean, man, out of this little crowd, it's amazing what comes out of it sometimes. Why is that? That's people that, amen, want the testimony of God to go forward. That's people that listen to God when God says, give this much.
Yes, sir.
You know? When I first got saved, they said, give till it hurts. Why do I want to hurt? God loves a cheerful giver. How can you be cheerful when it hurts? You better learn how to give beyond hurting.
Yes, sir.
To where it gets to feeling good again.
Yeah, that's
Amen. To where the joy bells start going off. To where you can see the hand of God in what you're doing.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That testimony begins to resound. You never know what goes on in the next generation. You know, the fellow that won Billy Sunday to the Lord had no idea Billy Sunday had become a great evangelist.
That's right. That's right.
You invest in somebody, and what you're doing for that next generation, you're investing you. Amen. With the hope God's going to do something with what he did in you.
That's right.
God's going to take what he did in you and reproduce it in them and make it grow and flourish even more in them. Back in the early 1900s, there was a great revival in the Hebrides Islands off Scotland. Two old women, one of them blind and the other walked stooped over from spinal stenosis. Both had an ardent passion for revival, and they longed to see God move. And they longed to see him work on the island they lived on, which was the island of Lewis. They're unable to walk the distance it took to get to church, and they couldn't even get there for prayer meeting. It was just too much for them to walk that far. And so folks had stopped by their house. They'd just be walking through the countryside, and they'd just stop by the house, and they'd have a prayer meeting. And their house became a house of prayer. And they had a passion for this revival, so they began to pray that God would send revival. Mm-hmm. And they confronted the preacher. And the preacher's name was Duncan Campbell. I come to find out, I know one of Duncan Campbell's probably great, great grandsons. He's way up in his 80s now. He's here in America. He was in my church when I pastored in Bradford. But they confronted Duncan Campbell, and they wanted to know if he was thoroughly right with God. So they began to pray more, and people began to stop by, and much passionate prayer went up. Folks said they'd seen the Lord bless and fill the church house. Souls being saved, people getting right. And the power of God came on that little obscure island off the coast of Scotland. In that revival, a young teenage boy got saved whose name was Donald. He became so faithful and trustworthy that the preacher counted on him for many things. He'd also call on Donald to lead in public prayer and help with the services. God moved mightily, and folks began to get right with God. Folks began to hear about it, and the revival started from them two old women who just kept praying and would not be denied. By the way, these two old women, they were folks that were least esteemed in their church. I mean, they didn't show up for services. The folks that stopped by were folks that were really close to the Lord there in the church, and things began to happen when they'd stop by and pray. You see, you don't have to be a great saint of God to serve God.
That's right.
All you got to be is one word. Faithful.
That's right. Amen.
Faithful. And this they were. It was from that island that a young girl, a cousin to Donald Smith, her name was Marianne Smith McLeod, immigrated to the United States, 1936. Here in America, she met a man named Fred. And these two old women from the revival were her aunts. They sent Marianne a Bible that had been used in a very special way in that revival. Meanwhile, her and her husband had started having children. 1937, their firstborn, a son, was named after Fred, his father. The secondborn, a daughter, was named Marianne after her mother. And the third was Elizabeth. Then the fourth child was born. By that time, she'd read that Bible. And she'd heard the story of that young man named Donald. So the fourth child was born as a boy. And they named him Donald. As time went on, she gave that Bible to Donald. Donald was born in 1946. And went on to become the 45th president of the United States.
Amen.
That Bible rests in the Oval Office. And the man I heard tell this story when President Trump's brother died, was invited to his funeral to speak. All because he told the story of Donald's Bible. That Bible is in the White House today. If you've seen a picture of Donald Trump holding it up, there's a few out there. The story is real. You never know what's going to happen in one generation. God set this thing up for something. I'm not smart enough to put all the pictures together yet. But it's easy to see the hand of God from one revival on a little island, two little old ladies praying. I've often told the story of the Welsh revival. That started from one little old lady. They credit Christmas Evans with all the big thing of it. Christmas Evans himself will not take the credit. He mentions the story of one little old lady that him and a friend were walking through the Welsh countryside, came upon a grass hut, and they heard a woman screaming, "I'm gonna die! I'm gonna die! I'm gonna die!" The man, they thought this woman's in dire straits, so they walked over, tried the door, it was locked, so they kicked the door open. Splinters flew everywhere. And there's a little old woman at the hearth, and she's crying out, "God! I'm going to die if you don't send revival to Wales." Christmas Evans said they backed out very gingerly, very quietly, put the pieces back together the door best they could, latched it, and walked on down the road. He credits that revival with the prayers of that woman. You don't have to be strong and mighty, powerful, and have a lot of money or have a lot of influence. It doesn't take much to leave an heritage for the next generation.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
Give ear. Open my mouth. Tell somebody that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born. See, they weren't even born yet. We hear these stories about people in days gone by that have been long past. Look how they influence. Look how it influenced even to what we have in the White House. If you believe Donald Trump got in there on anything other than prayer, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you'd be wrong. There was so much wickedness and evil going on this last election, and it's going to come out like you've never seen this next election. If we do not pray, the most influential thing we can do for our nation right now is pray. Why? Because there's a generation to come yet. And you see what? Remember Hezekiah? Remember what happened with Hezekiah? All that evil didn't happen in his day. And he kind of like, you know. But it happened to his sons.
Yep.
Last thing I want to see John Marcus, I see my kids go through something like that.
Amen.
But there's a time coming. Some people are going to have to be prepared. And right now, we're the ones that do the preparing. Here, here, and in here. Don't hide them. Said, we will not hide them from their children. Man, tell everybody. Co-workers, family. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. The generation to come. Father, thank you for the privilege. God, I pray it's been a help and a blessing. Sure do appreciate this day you gave us, Lord. What a joy to be here.